You're bolder than usual, in your black domino mask, crueler. I watch you hold up your fork as you stare at your wife, peering over the tines like she's a cutlet. She doesn't mention the mask. None of us on the maid staff mention it either. I see your wife squirming. She tries to smile, begs you to stop being strange. But your silence unsettles her, and she flees upstairs before the soup arrives. I flinch as the bedroom door slams shut, leaving us, your servants, to tend to you. I see you grin and reach under the table, rubbing the bulge in your trousers, and you fix your gaze on me. You've never acknowledged me before, other than a passing professional nod, but behind the mask, your eyes make a meal of me in my fitted black uniform. The head maid turns on the TV. She's hoping to break the spell. Your eyes flick to the news and your hand stops pulling at your bulge. I'm surprised by how disappointed that makes me. I clear the plates. You watch the news, which is predictably prosaic. Anchors with white teeth talk about weather, traffic, politics. Then something flashes over the screen and the air is sucked out of the room. I turn to look. It's a special public announcement. The police have a witness who can identify the masked man known as the Stalker, a violent vigilante they've been chasing for years, a deranged crusader who, before tonight, had only been captured on camera carrying a woman from a burning building. Now they have a sketch of the man, unmasked, on national television. We all recognise the face, rendered by police artists in perfect chiselled detail. It is you, staring at me with your hand trailing to your lap. The other servants are speechless, but new as I am, I want to demonstrate my loyalty, so I approach the table. Sir, is it true? We'll all stand by you no matter what, but the news... The slap takes me off my feet. Blood slashes across the dining table and my head bounces off the floor. I lay moaning as you stand over me. My vision blurs with tears. I see you touching yourself through your trousers. You use the toe of your shoe to push up my skirt, and I feel the warm leather brush between my thighs. But it's just a tease and a moose bouche, because you leave me there, dazed, tasting blood, as you climb the stairs for the main course. You've never been modest around the townhouse staff. The maids all gossip about your appetites, how you make your wife moan for hours. But tonight, you're wearing the mask. The sounds that come from the master bedroom as you kick in the door and claim her are not the sounds of marital passion. They are animal and brutal. The screaming starts early. We don't know what you're doing to her, but it isn't gentle and it isn't welcome. I'm picking myself up off the floor when she begins to sob, and I can hear low, bestial growls from you. The maids exchange glances, wondering what to do. We listen as you ignore your wife's pleas, which turn into short, sharp grunts of pain. Her yelps quicken as you reach your peak, and it's all I can do to hide my arousal. The head maid comes to check on me and I wave her off. It's fine, I say, just dazed. But the truth, I realise, is both curious and startling. I must be stunned from the blow, because some part of me wishes I could be in that room instead of your wife. My desire isn't quelled when I see her emerge either. When your wife staggers downstairs, she is carrying a suitcase, and it takes two servants to help her to the pavement. Her eyes are wide, vacant. She shuffles to the taxi like she's shell-shocked. Before the car can whisk her away, she looks at me through the window. "Get your things. Leave while you can," she tells me. She's like a ghost, warning me of a haunting. And then she's gone. I consider her words. Briefly. Then I return to my duties. As the servants dress for bed, the head maid notices that I'm wearing something different, something special. A silk sleeping shift instead of the usual cotton. It's black and sleek, a nighty, and it hugs my hips and brushes tantalizingly across my breasts. It also reveals a ripple of burn scars over my shoulder and neck, which I usually hide with my hair. "That dress is inappropriate for your position," she tells me. Her assessment is businesslike, but I can see judgment in her eyes, and in the eyes of the other maids, getting ready for bed in our shared quarters. She knows what I'm doing, why I'm wearing the soft silk, even if I don't realise it myself. But I ignore her, and slip into my bed nearest the door. The other five women do likewise, crawling under the covers and clicking off their bedside lamps. "Besides," I tell myself, "it's not as if you'll actually see me like this. It's not as if you, the master, would violate the privacy of the servant's sanctuary." At least that's what I tell myself. When you take me, it's like a horror movie. I feel a vice around my ankle and I'm ripped downward toward the foot of the bed. By instinct, I claw at the sheets as I'm dragged to the edge, but I only manage to strip the mattress as you bend me over, legs dangling. I would have done anything you asked of me, given you anything you wanted, but you don't want me to give anything. You want to take. My face is muffled by the blankets. I hear my silk nightie shredded like gift wrapping. I feel cold air on my bare ass, my cunt. You moan when you see my nakedness under the shift, and I feel the head of your cock pressing against my asshole. I turn to look at you. I catch a glimpse of the mask, beetle black in the moonlight. I see you, bare-chested, wearing trousers and leather gloves. Then you palm the back of my head and stuff my nose into the bedsheets. You press my face into the mattress so hard I can't breathe, can't moan, and you enter me. The shock, the size of you, makes me quiver and gasp. I want to please you, I really do, but I can't help the instinct to slither away. I raise my knees onto the bed for purchase. I pull away for a heartbeat before you snake an arm under my pelvis and pull me back, violently thrusting yourself into me. I bear down from the pressure and the pain, and the sensation is so intense that I black out for a moment. When I come to, you're using me like a sex toy, furiously mashing my hips against your groin with both hands. My feet hang down to your shins, my arms and torso flop on the bed, pushing the blankets into a dune around my head. You grunt and moan, lost in feral lust, and your fingers bruise my skin. Your release is as abrupt as your lust. I feel you tense inside of me, squeezing, pulling me back. You ram yourself into me once more, driving the breath from my lungs, and I feel a warm rush as you come inside me, not caring that I'm twitching and languid. You use me as your vessel. Fill me, and you drop me where I crumple against the bedpost, clutching my silk rags. I catch the shadow of your smile, the quirk of your lip under the mask, and then you're gone. In the morning, the other maids whisper to each other. They never woke, never heard you enter our quarters. At least that's what they claim. But I hear their hushed voices hissing from down the hall when they think I'm not listening. Did you see that nighty? Did you see her face when the master and mistress were fucking? He's under a lot of pressure. He was never like this before. I know I should leave. I should take your wife's advice and find a hotel. But when you finally rise for your morning coffee, you find me in the dining room, ready with the breakfast tray. I'm shocked to see you dressed as you had been. Black trousers, gloves and shoes, no shirt. You see the painful lurch in my steps and you smile. The mask conceals the crinkle around your eyes. You take your seat, facing the TV. I place your coffee and breakfast in front of you, like any other Tuesday, and I stand dutifully by. You take long, lazy sips, and I watch the steam rise. Then you beckon for the TV, and I hesitate. But the head maid is there, waiting, and she complies. The look you give me is both savage and hungry, but you let my infraction pass as the news clicks on. And in that moment, my fears are realised. I feel vertigo as I see us, our townhouse, from the street outside. TV cameras are set up everywhere, on the front lawn, on the pavement, on top of news vans. They're pointed at our dining room window, trying to focus on your dark form behind the gauzy bay curtains. The reporters standing on the lawn are recounting your vigilante crimes, violence, destruction, assault. Then an image of your wife floats onto the screen. The news crawl reads, "Latest victim of the stalker comes forward." You mute the television, but you don't turn it off. The serving staff melts away. I take a step back as well, but you grab my wrist, impossibly strong. I expect rage, denial, but all I see is the hunger behind the mask. Suddenly you jerk me toward you with such force that I lose my shoes. I fall, flailing, and land on my knees, my face against your thigh. You hold me there with one hand as you drag your cock out of your pants. I feel the warmth of your erection against my cheek for just a moment. I pant, breathing on it, and I feel it throb. Then you pull my head down onto your cock and I'm gagging and crying and arching my back while you use my face for your pleasure. There is no fighting you, no denying you. You are as strong and relentless as the rumours say. You pinch my jaw between your fingers in one hand and brace my head with the other. You thrust into my mouth over and over until the back of my throat burns and my lungs begin to spasm. Before I lose consciousness, you yank my head back and your cock leaves my mouth with a wet pop. You stand from the table, lifting me like a doll, and my white stockings make my feet slip on the hardwood floor. At first I think you're going to take me against the table, but you tear my uniform off me like a corn husk and lift me higher. Your hands encircle my naked waist, my ankles beat against your thighs. You hold me up so that I'm facing the TV and I can see our silhouettes on the news, my diminutive shape floating above yours, outlined behind the gauzy dining room curtain. You make sure I can see us before you slam me down onto your cock. I am impaled, wriggling as your hands clasp me against your chest. I feel your crushing force, your undeniable power as you use me, pounding into my tight, throbbing cunt. I am a puppet gone limp in your arms, and I can tell you've wanted to do this since the moment you brought me into your home. All of your pent-up frustration and need, you take it out on me. I bounce on your cock as you raise me up and slam me down again and again, faster and faster, and I feel like I'm splitting apart. The cameras catch it all in vague shapes. But this isn't enough for you. You rush out of the dining room with me clasped against your hips, and you bound up the stairs with inhuman vigour. Every bounce drives me harder onto your erection, and I yelp and gasp at each step. You carry me, skewered, through the ruined master bedroom and stop in front of the balcony door. No, I gasp. No, please. It's the first time I've tried to deny you anything, and I can feel how much it excites you. You hang onto my waist with one arm and grab my breast with the other gloved hand, squeezing. You twist my nipple cruelly. Then your hand slides higher, wrapping around my throat, and your grip tightens. When I beg again, it's a soft rasp. Please, please, please don't. You knee the balcony door open and walk me into the morning air. Cameras flash. The assembled reporters gasp. Shutters click in rapid staccato. You press your lips against my neck, and I can feel you smile as you bite into my nape. You claim me, thrusting harder, faster, as the world watches. Your hand leaves my throat, sliding higher, and when my lips part to moan, you slide two fingers into my mouth. I taste leather and myself on your fingers. You take me in front of everyone from your mountain top. You defile me, and I am supple and wanton in your arms. I can feel you straining, bucking up into me with growing need, growing insistence. Beaten and bruised as I am, I feel myself shiver, approaching climax too. You hold me over the railing in the open air, and my heart hammers in time with your punishing thrusts. My legs quake around your thighs, my body begins to shudder, and I come an instant before you, squirming in your iron grip as you fill me with your sticky heat. For one guiltless moment, I am your ruined Proserpina and you are my Pluto, dragging me to hell. The crowd gasps. Scandalized voices call out your name, both your real name and the stalker. My cheeks are burning. My head is swimming. My body is battered and cold. I am small and vulnerable in your arms. I raise my hands to cover myself, and I twist around to hide my nakedness against you. That's when I see the cruel smile again, playing at your lips. Your eyes twinkle behind the mask, and you drop me heavily onto the balcony deck. My bare skin slaps the concrete, and you step away from me, back inside the house. I sit, tears running down my face, sore and shivering and unable to stand. You close the balcony doors, and I hear the click of the latch.